Alright, so let's hope that I use the right microphone for this. Because I'm using a different one today. I'm using the vocal mic. And it's going to be... Why am I using the vocal mic? Because I'm going to sing for you the first Advent song. But I feel I need to confess sin. And so let's just pray and get that over with. Yeah, you want to get it off. So, as this song is about sin, I think it's kind of appropriate. The Lord's like, yeah, you too. Lord, I pray for barriers that I've put up against people, maybe that I didn't realize I was putting up. I have my threshold for feeling invaded is really high. And, I don't know. I know that you can change that. I don't know that I'm always going to be willing to change that. So I pray that you soften my heart in that area. Lord, I feel like I don't have any discernment sometimes when I let those walls down. So I pray that you help me walk the right kind of line in my relationships. Yeah, so as we're talking about Advent, I pray that you would illumine the words on the page of your word and help us to grow with our recognition of the necessity of Christ, how it defines everything in our lives, all the pain, all the trials, all the blessings, all of it we can choose to have defined by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that he came and that he redeemed us. And so help us to cease from groping around in the dark and by your grace redefine our lives with the truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start. You get to hear the first Advent song. This is the only place it's going to be. And so if you want it someplace else, you have to let me know. And you might hear some bunny noises. So here we go.
Would rather continue to grope in the dark with the lights still came. We with unfettered sinfulness that would fain get away, but the light still came. Light still came. And out of the foul low ground showed a spark. And on our dead rain's mark on our hearts shudder and close down. The soothing balm of redemption finally as a soldier, we carry on still shines. And with tears unceasing that trespass our daily woe, for the light still shines, still shines. At all.
All right, so aren't I glad for multiple tracks and cutting and pasting? Because my rabbit was digging in the sand, and then I had to go get some tea, and then I wasn't all that impressed with the melody. My melodies aren't impressive at all anyway, but it was undoubtedly one of the worst. But the lure always comes through. So we're going to visit. And at some point you have to let go. We're going to visit here, like I said yesterday, Romans 5. But first I want to. I didn't return to our main idea of this Advent series. And that is the angle that we're taking. That is the angle of, was it necessary? So yesterday we talked about how we don't like to look at that which is ugly because we weren't made for it. That's what I was trying to say yesterday. And God knows that we're dust, and God knows he has to be clear about what our sin looks like to him who is holy, way above us. We swim in it, and it's kind of hard when it, you know, ask a fish what it's like to walk on land, and they're going to not know what you're talking about. First of all, they're not going to talk. But you know what I mean. If you've been living in the same fishbowl, you're not going to know what it's like to live outside of it until somebody shows you. We have lots of scripture, which is good, other than just Romans 5. But today we are talking about this gift. A couple ideas here, and I'm just trying to get figure out where to start. Basically, let's start over in Romans 5. And we have quite a bit to read, so let's just do it. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Now, this could be God not giving, making people accountable to a law that doesn't exist. Or, which is more likely, we have no way to check ourselves when there is no law. So it's that fishbowl concept. We are swimming in it. We live in it. And until God reveals it to us, we're like, well, accountable to what? I don't know what you're talking about. Same old, same old. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command. So what God's saying is that these laws applied. They just weren't given for a time from Adam basically to Noah. They did not have the law. Now, are they all in hell? I don't know. I have half a mind to say no, that there was a good chance a number of them repented during the flood, but they did not have any revealed word. I don't know. That's just, I don't know. And I've never heard anybody talk about this ever. So anyways, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, but sin was our MO, as did Adam, who was the pattern of the one to come. So we have two men here. We have Adam, who was created in the image of God. We talked about this. And then we have a second man that this passage is going to talk about. And this second man is Jesus Christ. And I read this little commentary today. And it was really good. Because what I wanted was for God to tell me that Christ's work was going to save everybody. Okay, and this is why, okay, let's just get here, because this is a real question that people have. But the gift is not like the trespass. See, when Adam trespassed, it passed on to everyone. And so when I read, but the gift is not like the trespass, I was like, well, the trespass passed on to everyone, whether they liked it or not. We were all sinners. We were going to sin. Can't the gift go to everyone? Everyone. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. So I was like, okay, everybody. Everybody gets saved. There's only one problem. And this is what it comes down to. We read it a little bit in Romans 1. And we'll read it here. It is not that God is not willing that everyone gets saved. And this is what you need to be clear about. It is not the depth of sin that you're in. It is not all the things that you've done. It is not your sinful lineage. I'm talking about roots a lot in these albums, and our familial basis, and how connectedness helps us grow. And reflection helps us do the same. But here in John 16, it says in this one verse, verse 9, it says, the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. I see, I don't care what you've done. That's how this is so different. The trespass is not like we are bound to the trespasses of one man. Whatever levels we find ourselves in, we're bound to it. What God is saying is that this gift supersedes all of it. It's not saying everyone is going to believe. It's saying that its power is far greater than the first man's sin. Far greater. And yet the world refuses to believe. Romans 1, they hide it. They exchange. They cover it. They cope with evil. But they never fall on the cross. Oh, anything to avoid that cross. Now, lest we think this isn't in the church. It is. When you read scripture, does it condemn you or encourage you? I know that's overly simplistic for some people, but I went through a phase in my life where my heart was in enmity. I was saved, but my heart was struggling with belief. Like I would say that I believe, but it wasn't any action in my life. I wasn't walking by faith. I had to have all things figured out. I had to do, I'm writing this story. It's called Cool World. It's over at the website. And this is basically, she has to move out from herself into a life based in faith. And so I gathered my stuff. And I held on to my ways. And I put my intellect in my pocket. And that is what I used when I went to the cash register. Right? And so when I would go and I would read scripture, God really seemed unapproachable. Because I blocked the way. I mean, that's why, sister. Blocked the way. He seemed like he was ready to punish me. Not condemnation, necessarily. But I didn't apply what I supposedly knew about the cross. I would read, I would somehow try to cope with what was being shed on my heart, and I'd go off my own direction again and again and again and again. Nothing new. This is what the world does. Until I fell on the cross. And then I started to see the Father in a new light. He wasn't this dark, aloof being. As I sought, as I felt, as I trusted, the love of God began to fill my heart, began to show me who He really was. You see, it's not him who's changed. He has been the same from the beginning. It's this creation that is marred, sought to mar their own image. They go about setting up idols. They go about setting up shrines. They go about gathering their stuff. They go about life in their own way, and they get things in between their image and God's image and who they are directly associated with, aligned to, inextricably bound to, just whatever it takes to get it, that in the way from seeing His face. So how did God break through? Oh, I need to be quiet here. Mutey, mute, mute. Thank you. So how did God break through? We're bound in sin. We're bound in our own devices. We're bound in our darkness. We are choosing death daily. So he sent someone, his own son, his only son, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Not just to come to the world, walk around, and maybe even to die. No. He became sin. He took on what we sought out. We were all aimed at death, and he took it on. We're pointed at death. Everything we do is going to lead to death. We're destroying ourselves. We're putting things in the way. And he went on the other side of that and took that thing on that we were aimed at. Glory be to God. Stop. Stop. The gift is nothing like the trespass. Stop. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? And you know the thing about a gift. You're thinking about, I know you're out there buying gifts. I'm out there buying gifts. I'm trying to relax this year and not get, stressy about it. I'm not even writing down names, who's for what. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to give my sister-in-law Legos, but I'm trying to be real, chill. But what I was thinking about was this concept of a gift. You give it at a point in time. Jesus came at a point in time. And many will receive, and many received this gift throughout time. And the thing about it is that you don't give a gift with stipulations. Now, if you screw up this next year, I want the gift back. No. No. I mean, I hope you don't make it your aim to swim the cesspool that is this world, whose pattern is unbelief. This gift is not contingent what you do for the next year. It has nothing to do with what you did. It will not be taken away. There's not going to be a mailman coming up to your door. Now, I need that salvation back. You really screwed up that time. It is nothing like the trespass. It is nothing like what this world is bound to. It is nothing like it. It doesn't waver. The salvation doesn't come and go. Like a lot of you have grown up where you weren't even sure where your next meal was coming from. Dysfunctional wasn't even the right word for your upbringing. This gift is nothing like that. Nothing like that. Unmovable. Unbreakable. I mean, how many of y'all gonna go to Walmart, buy something that's gonna break within a year? I mean, if I ever give anything to Keen when he was growing up, I love Keen, but he did not leave anything intact. Nothing. Nothing. And I think boys are like that. I mean, my second one's a little more, he just wants to figure stuff out. But Keen was like, oh, it's uniform? Well, let me make it ununiform. The salvation isn't going to break in a year. Yet, sometimes I feel like we treat it like it did. My salvation broke. I really screwed up. My salvation must have lost its warranty. Nope. This gift is nothing like that. So, let's finish off here. And we're in Hebrews 9. And we're circling back to yesterday's podcast. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. He's restoring us. That was his plan from the beginning of time. To restore that which was marred, broken, maligned, made destitute, cast out, downtrodden, deserted. Cheated. Lied to. He's bringing us back to our real purpose. To that which we've been created for. It's inescapable. The mark we bear. It's an image. It's a holy image that we bear. Belongs to our Father. We're bound to him. Jesus Christ restored us. Gave the gift of himself. Came as a baby. With a purpose. Set down before time. By the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice. He paid the bill. He got it done. There's nothing we can add to it. We're not going to go back to the store and pay for the rest of the gift. There's no one coming to take it away. The giver's not going to be like keeping track. We don't do that.